I'll just shoot from the hip. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus. Faithful is he who called you, who will also do it. So what is that? Your soul, your spirit, soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and emotion. And a lot of times we're out to trying to change the way we think, change the way we feel, change the way we act. But you can't. You got to exchange all of that and receive a new mind. Because the natural mind is not subject to God, neither indeed can it be. But we have the mind of Christ that we've been given, a new mind, a new will, new emotion. So what does that look like? That's what I'm going to talk about. What does the exchanged life in the mind, will, and emotion look like? What does that look like? There he is. Connie said, look at me. Look at me. See, that's what it's all about, is what does that look like? And so, you know, one of the things about the old mind, it's selfish and it's self-centered. You remember last week we talked about in Luke 9 when Jesus said, what did he say? He won't get over it. He'll just get through it. Luke chapter 9. I want us to look there just a second because we're going to look at it. Luke 9:22. Now, if you're here and you think he's offended me, he's not. This is normal. We like it. It's okay. He's all right. Luke 9:22 said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be slain and raised again. And he said to them, if any man will come after me, if any man, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That word deny means to disown. Disown that thing that's within you that wants attention and wants to be important. In every one of us, that old mind, will, and emotion is selfish, it's self-centered. The whole root of abortion and everything that's going on in this world is called selfishness. It's that old self that wants its own way. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, the first thing you have to do is deny that self, that selfishness, take up your cross daily, and follow me. And then he goes on to say, for he that will save his life will lose it. Well, that word life in the Greek is soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotion. If you try to save that old thing, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose it, exchange it, you'll have a new one. And see, religion tries to tell you can change the way you think, the way you feel, and the way you act. Well, you may can, but it doesn't change the root of the thing because that old seed is corruptible. And we have not received the incorrupt. 1 Peter 2 says, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. So we have that new mind and new will and emotion. So that's the way we're talking about today. Okay. Romans 15:1 says, we then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Give me an amen. Amen. Let every man please what? His neighbor for his good. For Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee has fallen on me. See, Paul says, I have no man like-minded who naturally cares for your state, for all men seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. And see, that old Adamic carnal nature we got does not, we're talking about Valentine's Day. What is that? That's agape, that's love. Did you know the natural mind has no idea what love means? The only way you can know love is to know God. Agape love. We love because he first loved us. We have no way of knowing what real, pure agape. You know what agape is, really? We don't have time, but read 1 Corinthians 13. One of the things, it doesn't seek its own. It doesn't keep record of wrongs happened to it. Read it. You'll see what that's the kind of love that God has for us. God is love. And it says, as he is, so are we. We are born of that kind of incorruptible seed. And faith only works by agape love. So we're talking about what does it mean to have that new nature. See, 2 Peter chapter 1 says, according to these divine promises, have given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to his glory and grace. He says, so that we can be a partaker of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. How do we, through his promises, we can be a partaker of his divine nature? That's what we're talking about today. His divine nature. And it says, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, patience. And he says, if all of these things be in you, how do you add it to it? You add it to your faith. It's a promise. It's freely given to you. Receive it. See, that's part of that divine nature the Holy Spirit wants to bring you into so that we can be like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says the Holy Spirit is here to conform us into his very image, his character, his likeness. And as he is, what? So are we. And 1 John 2:6 says we should walk as he walked. How do we walk? As he walked. How did he walk? He walked in love. That's how we should walk. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But see, we see that that divine nature is what he wants us to have because we are the body of Christ. We are his representatives here on earth. And Jesus said, Father, make them one. Unite them. Make them one as we are one, that the world may know that you've sent me. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. If you don't love each other, what's the problem here? See, and that's what this is all about. But here for example, let's go into Philippians chapter 2. And what I'm trying to say is this new walk of the new life, exchange life, should affect the way you live your life. It should affect the way you live, the way you act, the way you think, the way you deal with your neighbors and your friends. Philippians chapter 2 verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded. Whose mind do we have in here? Like-minded. The mind of Christ. Being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. It's one thing to esteem others the same, but better, more important. And you know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, 10, he says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. He said, to Jew, I become a Jew. To those as lost, as lost. To those as under law, as under the law, but not being under the law, but being under the law to Christ. Why? So that I might win them. I become all things to all men. He said, I have made, though I be free from all men, I have made myself a servant unto all men. Jesus didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister and be a servant to all. When he was getting ready to leave, and the disciples, and they said, who's going to take his place? Who's going to be the greatest? So Jesus takes a towel and a basin and washes their feet. And he said, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. See, the thing about it is, when they all came in to that Last Supper, there was the water and there was the towel. And the normal thing that would happen is there's a servant waiting. As everyone comes in, their feet are washed before they sit around the table. But there just happened to not be a servant that day. So none of them wanted to be lord to the form of a servant. So they all sat around the table with dirty feet. Because no one, he's fixing to leave, and I'm not a servant. I'm going to be important. So he takes the towel and the basin and washes all their feet. Said, if I do that, you should do that too. I didn't come to be ministered to. I came to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 3:16 says this, if Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for each other. Why? Because we're the body of Christ and members one of another. We can't separate you from me. We're all one in the body of Christ. There's only one church. There's a lot of meeting places, but there's only one body of Christ. Members one of another. And if the members says should have the same care one for another. What kind of care? Same care. Okay. Let this mind. What does the word let mean? It means I have a choice, don't I? I can think with my old mind or I can think with my new mind. Okay? You got a brain, but you got an old mind and you got a new mind. And you can think with whichever one you want to. God always gives us choices. But see, the word let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let it. Why? As he is, so are we now, it says. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation. Do you know there's something in every one of our old fallen carnal natures that wants to be important and wants to attention? Right or wrong? Right. It's there. But Jesus, this was not in his mind. Even though he was in the form of God, he was. He didn't make of himself of no reputation. Okay. And took upon himself the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of a fleshly man. Listen. He being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I like one version. He became human. And he stayed human and became a servant unto everyone. Let that mind be in you. And he says, because of that, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in the things on earth and the things in heaven, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, that's who we are. That's who we are. We are his representatives here. You are our epistles, he said, known and read of every man. You may be the only Christ that people see in this world that works around you. What do they see? See, we got to realize that he wants us to be him. He sent us here to be a representative of the body of Christ here on earth. Because he said, as the Father sent me, John 20:21, so send I you. The same way the Father sent me, I send you into this world. To do what? What the Father sent him to do. And he finished the work that the Lord gave him to do. Amen. All right. So we see that's what this divine nature is all about. You know, I've been around a while. I've been around 40 years. And I've seen a lot of Christians that talk the talk, but there's not walking the walk. There's absolutely, you know, and we talked about it in Romans 8, it says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, there's a lot of Christians that profess to be Christians that you see absolutely no fruit of the Spirit of Christ there. Am I right or wrong? I'm not judging. I'm just saying, you ask them if they're Christian, yeah. I know people say, yeah, I've asked them, but you're Christian? But I would have never known it. Because the Spirit of Christ, what kind of spirit was that? What kind of spirit did Jesus possess? You know, he didn't grasp at his title as God. He gave that up. Satan's the one that tried to grasp it and lost it. Jesus gave it up. You know, we've seen a lot of different moves of the Spirit that's come over the face of the earth. But one of the things I'm so excited about in the exchange life is when you begin to see that who you are has nothing to do with you. See, the exchange life is God was in Christ, exchanging the world to himself. Jesus took our sins so we could be made his righteousness. But of God, 1 Corinthians 1:30, are you in Christ, who has made you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as it is written, let him that glory, glory in the Lord. Why? So no flesh will glory in his presence. He put us there. He placed you into Christ. Nothing of yourselves. Why? And once we begin to see that, then we see there's nothing to boast about. There's nothing to brag about. And I believe we're going to see a move of the Spirit coming, but it's going to come through those that are humble and meek and do not want to make any reputation for himself. One of the prophets said there's going to be a move across the United States one of these days where people's going to be meeting in football stadiums. But the thing that's going to be unique about it is God's going to be doing supernatural miracles, and the ones leading the groups are nobodies. Nobody knows who they are or where they came from. Why? You know why that is? Because it's the body of Christ. Members one of another that God's going to work through. Not special people. because I wanted to tell you something. God has no special, special people. He is no respecter of persons. If you don't believe it, read 1 Corinthians 12. You'll see that he says the least member is as important as there's more honor on the least member. He doesn't think like we think. See, he sees us. The only way he can see me is through his son. And the only way I can approach him is through his son. That pretty well leaves me out of the picture. Thank the Lord. How many of you are glad? Yes. Give me an amen out there. How many of you are glad he doesn't see you apart from Christ?
That's right.
How many of you are really glad about that? I want to see them hands.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
When he sees me, he sees his son. Thank the Lord.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. But it's going to be a move. It's going to be bathed in the Spirit of Christ. It's going to be bathed in humility, Christ honoring, esteeming others before themselves, prophets and apostles understanding what it means to esteem others before themselves. It's going to separate the real from the false. So you're going to be able to see. One of the things in Malachi, it says, they that feared the Lord met often. We talk about that in the coffee shop. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord heard it and wrote them their names in a book of remembrance. And he says, they're going to be mine in the day that I make up my jewels, because I'm going to spare them as a man spares his own son in whom he loves. And he says, and they're going to discern between what's righteous and what's unrighteous. They're going to discern between what's good and what's evil. See, because you're going to have the mind of Christ, so you can. Isn't it amazing? Since a lot of you is understanding what it means to have the exchange life, the exchange thinking, isn't it amazing how much now you can see when something's working in you that's not that? Let me see your hands.
Yes.
We can still go over there if we want to, but we don't have to. But isn't it amazing now you have a choice where you don't have to live that way if you don't want to? See, we don't have to, because that's not who we are. Because the scripture says that which is born of God cannot sin because his seed remains in you. You say, well, are you sinless? No, I didn't say that. I'm saying that part of me that's born of God cannot sin. I still can go sin if I choose to, but it's not who I am, it's who I was.
Right.
See the difference? And every person has that choice. God will never take away that choice from you. How would you like, if you was God, that you could make everybody want to love you, whether they wanted to or not? No. No. He's always going to give you a choice. And that's why he said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. Enjoy it. That's the way of the new creation. And we see how this works out. We see that in the life of Solomon. You know, when Solomon was taken over for David, Solomon, in a dream, God asked him, what do you want, Solomon? And he said, I want a wise and understanding heart that I might be able to judge so great a people that you put me under. I don't know how to come in or go out. I don't know how to do this. Give me an understanding heart that I might be able to discern what's right for this people. And God said, Solomon, because you asked this, I'm going to give you that new heart. Because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for the death of your enemies, you didn't ask for the things that that old man would ask for. He said, because you didn't ask for that, and I'm going to give you a wise and understanding heart, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you everything you didn't ask for. And do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because God gave him another heart. In Ecclesiastes, he tells about all the things he did, and he says, I didn't withhold anything I wanted. I got everything I wanted, but my mind, my heart, was still guiding me with his wisdom. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's laboring for the wind. See, God could give him everything that he had because he knew with a new heart he couldn't enjoy it out of the old heart. He was able to see exactly what it was all, the end of every bit of it. See, and that was the reason God gave it. How about Abraham? When Abraham, God called Abraham out of his country. And he said, I'm going to take you into the land. And he said, get away from your kinfolk. Well, Abraham took his father and his nephew. says in the book of Acts, if you'll read there, you'll see in about chapter 8 or so, that God didn't get mad at Abraham, but he didn't show Abraham anything until his dad passed away, until Lot separated himself. But what happened when Lot, there was strife between Lot and Abraham because Lot was so blessed, he had so many cattle and their herdsmen were fighting. And Abraham said, let there be no strife between us. He said, look out there. And he said, take whatever you want. Abraham didn't say, I'm taking the best and you get out of here. Are you out there? It's all Abraham's. What did he say? You choose what you want. I'll take what's left. And Lot looked and saw the plains all watered and all that, and he took that and went that way. And you know what God said? After Lot separated himself from Abraham, God said, Abraham, lift up your eyes and look. It's all yours. But God didn't give it to him until he was separated from Lot and his dad. But see, Abraham, what did he? Abraham's the father of those that what? Believe? But Abraham didn't, he gave up first, and then he got. See, that's give, and it shall be what? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The Spirit of Christ doesn't grab, it gives. Another thing. The Spirit of Christ didn't come to expose people's sins. He came to cover them. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ. I'm going to have a drink. He didn't come to expose people's suffering. He came to bear it. Scripture says, bear you one another's burdens. Bear. That word bear means to lift off, to take away people's burdens. It doesn't mean just to dump them on yourself. It means to take them away and get rid of them. Jesus bore our infirmities and carried our sicknesses. Why? He didn't keep them. He took them so we don't have to carry them anymore. He's not still carrying them. But see, bear one another's burdens, it says in Galatians, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Christ didn't please himself. See, that's the thing we got to start realizing. What is Valentine all about? It's being thankful to your mate for one day of the year. No, it should be every day. Esteeming others before yourselves. That's the way of Christ. Let that mind be in you, which is in Christ. Oh, help me, Jesus. We see in Jesus' life, it says in Hebrews 5:8, though he was a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to those that hear him. That word obey means to hear him. You know, one of the things that I want to just enclose in, and we're going to have communion. You know, when God spoke to Cain and he said, where's your brother? And he said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? See that? Do you hear that? Am I my brother's keeper? That comes from that old Adamic fallen nature. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, you know what? We really are. We are. Exhort one another how often? Daily. Lest we be deceived and fall into sin. We are, to some degree, our brother's keeper. But I just want to read you a few verses before Eric comes up. When Jesus said in John 13:34, he told his disciples, if I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, we need to lay down our lives for others. Romans 12:5, so we being many are one body, and everyone members one of another. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another. I want you to hear the one to another's. In honor, preferring one before another, to honor each other. Owe no man, Romans 13:8, anything but to love one another. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge rather this, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things with which we may edify or build up one another. You hearing one another's? 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. We should care one for another. 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul said that we should greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, y'all can pass on that right now. I'm not pushing that. Galatians 5:13 says, do not use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Serve one another, how? By love. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Ephesians 4:2 says, we are to forbear one another in love. 32, be kind, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are you catching what he's trying to say here to one another? Do you think God is concerned about how we treat one another? Why? Because you are the body of Christ and members one of another. So it's important how we treat one another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Colossians 3:16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, with grace in your heart. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another. Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily. James 4:11, speak not evil one of another. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. There's a lot of one to another's that's there for us if we'll just read them. Finally, be of one mind. Now, if it says be of one mind, I already told you now, the natural mind's not subject to God, never will be. But we have the mind of Christ. So if we're to all be of one mind, which mind do you think we'd all be in? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Let it be. You do have a choice to let it be. Amen. 1 John 3:11, for this is the message you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man, 1 John 4:12, has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected in us. Now, are we our brother's keeper? Yes. We're responsible for each other. 1 Corinthians 10:33, that's when, even as I please all men. Okay, I already covered that one. Romans 12:18, as much as lies within you, be at peace with all men. So follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Follow peace and holiness, which is God's gift to you. Peace, holiness, grace. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Did you know you could fail of the grace of God? You can. But he gives more grace. Amen.